I still want to be punctual. We'll be preaching tonight out of Hebrews chapter number 6. We read this morning Hebrews chapter number 2. We'll read tonight Hebrews chapter number 6 and take some text from there. I won't be preaching out of Hebrews, but I want to read some text out of Hebrews chapter 6. And I'll read verses 9 through 20. And I'll also be reading from Hebrews chapter 4. But I'm going to be preaching tonight from all over this Bible. But we'll start our reading tonight, Hebrews chapter number 6, verse 9. The Bible says, but beloved. Now I want you to know when you see that word beloved, that means we're talking to the church. And a lot of preachers, me included, believe that Paul wrote this book of the Hebrews, to the Hebrews. And the writing is a lot like his writing, but it says, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed towards His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could not swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured these four words, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Whether, in other words, the other promise is the forerunner, is for us entered, even Jesus. Now, when God made two promises, one of them, the promise was confirmed by the fact that he couldn't lie. And the second promise is in his son Jesus. He's our forerunner, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now I want to read some out of Hebrews chapter 4. I'll read 11 verses starting in verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as He said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, sin therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they whom it was first preached entered not in, because of unbelief, again he limited a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that entered into his rest, he hath also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. I want to preach tonight about the promises of God. Both of those texts that I read there mention about promises that God made. And he made one to Abraham. He made another one to David. We'll probably comment on both of them here in a minute, but right now I'm going to go to God in prayer. Pray with me and for me. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the precious Word of God. But Lord, we do well to take heed, even in the day and hour we're living in. Lord, this Word is eternal. Lord, you declared the end from the beginning. You said your counsel would stand. And even though the world don't understand the immutability of the counsel of God, you said not one jot or one tittle would fail from this Word. It will be fulfilled to the jot, to the T. And I do pray, Father, this world would make room for the Word of God and give place to it in their heart and in their home. And I pray, dear Father, tonight for these that are here, Lord, as well as those that will hear this message by way of the internet, that, Lord, you would visit and bless the hearts of the hearers to your praise and glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me say that God makes promises, and the good thing about God's promises is that He keeps them. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse 18 through 20, says, but as God is true, our word towards you was not yea and nay, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me, and Silvanus or Silas, and Timotheus or Timothy, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea and in him amen. I want you to know when God makes a promise, it's not a promise that you can wonder about. It's a promise you can lay hold on. Amen. And those promises he made through his Son Jesus, and thank God for those promises. Amen. Peter talked about unto us were given exceeding great and precious promises. We want to comment on them here in just a minute. But he promised to forgive. And I thank God, praise God, that he was willing to forgive me and willing to forgive all that will come humbly in repentance and ask. He promised in 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 through 10. It says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word's not in us. It's good to know a little Bible. Amen. My wife one day, and she goes to a holiness church. I'm for holiness. Matter of fact, I listen to her preacher preach on the way home today, and he's a good preacher. Me and Donnie both listened to him. He said he minded him a lot of Melvin Sisson, and he's a great preacher. And they preach holiness, and they live holiness. But she told me one day, she said, I'm not like you, I don't sin. I said, you need to read your Bible, young lady, because the Bible says if we say we have no sin, we make him a liar, and the truth's not in us. I said, God said you are a sinner. He said, I'm a sinner, you're at least admitted, and you ought to come out of it, amen. But a lot of people think like my wife think. They see my sin, they see your sin, but they can't see their sin. God sees all sin. He said all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. And he said there ain't none good, no not one. There ain't none that doeth good, no not one. He said we've all in the same mess. We all need Jesus. And without Jesus, we're not going to have the promise of God. And God promised through His Son Jesus that He would forgive us. Now Jesus beaten beyond recognition, bloody, and they can't really show you what Calvary Golgotha looked like. Mel Gibson made a movie and it was very graphic. This recent Bible series they had on TV was really graphic. But there's nothing that they can put on that screen as graphic as what Jesus was hanging on that cross. The Bible said His vestes was marred more than any man. That means He was literally just beat to a pulp. They had tried to kill Him, Brother Melvin. And if they could have, they would have. But Jesus told them beforehand, no man takes my life, I lay it down. But on that cross, beat beyond recognition, for our sakes, there He hung. And on that cross, He made the intercessory prayer to heaven. And He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And Ephesians 4:32 says, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven us, He promised that through His Son we could be forgiven, and every lost person needs to get to Jesus. That's where the promise of God is, to forgive. Amen. He can't forgive me, Brother Melvin, without Jesus, because I don't deserve it. He can't forgive me because I can't earn it. But He, through Jesus, can forgive me. Amen. And all the promises of God in Him are yea and in Him. Amen. Thank God for Jesus. But He also promised to receive those sinners that come to Him. He said in St. John chapter 6, verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. In verse 44 says, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. The promise to forgive is in Jesus. The promise to receive again is in Jesus. But praise God that the promises of God are manifested in His Son Jesus. Amen. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to deliver this message. He not only promised to forgive, He not only promised to receive, but Molly, He promised to keep. Amen. St. John chapter 10, verse 28 through 30, He said, and I give unto them eternal life. That was one of the promises He gave me. He promised me, Molly, that if I'd come to Him and ask Him to forgive me and call upon Him that's rich in mercy, all that call upon Him, that He'd give me eternal life. That eternal life, that life is in Him. Hey, amen. That's one of the promises that He promised me. And I believed it. I mean, I really knew God would save me before He ever did, because I believed it. But it says, and I give unto them eternal life, talking about His sheep that know His name. And He said, they shall never perish, neither shall any man put them out of my hand. He said, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to put them out of my Father's hand. And He went on to say, I and my Father are one. In Jude, which is just one chapter, verse 24, there's a great promise. Now unto Him that's able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, the only wise God, our Savior. I mean, He done it in such a way. It was a promise that He made through His Son Jesus that I could have a home in heaven. And He promised these things. He promised to come again. In St. John chapter 14, Sister Glenna Mann's favorite chapter was St. John chapter 14. But in verse number 3, Jesus here making a promise, and He tells His disciples and you and I, and He says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I should have read verse number 2. For I read that verse number 2 says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. His coming again is a promise. A promise that He will keep. We're talking tonight as we come into church. about the blessed thought of Him coming tonight. Man, what a blessing that be to leave out. Glory to God. Leave these miseries, these troubles, these hardships. Brother Melvin, he said, man, ain't nobody buying nothing. Their money's tight. Man, down here they hold on, up there they let go. Down here it just seems like troubles pile up. Up there they ain't a trouble one. Man, I can just see people right now up there in heaven saying, Lord, how long is it going to be before my family comes up here to join me? And the Lord says, in a little while, but a little while is just God fulfilling His promise, because there are things in this Bible that have to be fulfilled. And once they're fulfilled, God will fulfill the promise that He made to the church. He's coming, Sister Carolyn. He's coming for me. He's coming for all of them that have made themselves ready. And glory to God, when He comes, I'm a leader. I don't care if they say the word rapture is not in the Bible, but the word called up is. You call it what you want. I'm going on, amen. I'm caught up in the things of God, and He's coming for me. And when He comes, I'm leaving. Hallelujah. Promise of His coming. Peter said the day of the Lord will come. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. And you better be ready. Because ready or not, He's still coming. Amen. Let me show you some of the problems that God's had fulfilling His promises. God made a promise to a king named David. He promised him that there would always be one of his sons to sit on his throne. Now, even though God made that promise wasn't possible because of men. And David's sons kept condescending, and they kept getting more ungodly and more unfit to sit upon the throne of David. Now, this is a great mystery. A lot of people don't know this. A lot of churches, they don't realize what I'm going to tell you tonight, but it's still Bible, and I'll give you the scriptures, I'll give you the outline. Ain't much of one, but if you're interested in it. But in 1 Kings chapter number 8, verse 25, Solomon here speaking about his father David, and as he's praying, he says, O Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David my father that thou promised him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in thy sight to sit upon his throne. Now, God made that promise to David, and it went for a long time. But due to the failure of man to be qualified as David was, a man after God's own heart, now David made mistakes, but in the mistakes that David made, God, He removed them sins and kept His promise, and He did chasten David, a matter of fact. He buried four sons. He buried the baby of Bathsheba. He buried, I can't say his name, it's not Absalom, it's Amnon, I believe. He buried Amnon next, and then Absalom. And the last one he buried was Jesus, the fourth son. That was the fourth. And I'll prove that here in just a minute. But Jesus didn't stay buried. He got up. Amen. Amen. I'm glad He did get up, Molly. Amen. But due to the failure of man, if you want to open your Bible, I'll show you something here in Jeremiah where the promise had to end because of the failure of man. In Jeremiah chapter 22, you can find right here in the Word of God, in verse number 24, as I live, saith the Lord, though Conan, the son of Jedokim, king of Judah, were the signet upon my right hand, yet would I pluck thee hence, and I will give thee into the hand of them that seek thy life. You want to know how you're able to be have the advantage over your enemies, how you're able to somehow have success? Well, God says, if you don't live before me, such as I say, I'll give you to them that seek your life. Now we got people that want to kill us. They want to bring tires down. They want to bomb World Trade Centers. They want to do all kind of stuff. And I'll tell you right now, God said, I'll give you to them if you won't live before me right. And He tells this king here, He said, I'm going to give you to them to seek your life. And the hand of them whose face thou fearest, even into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and to the hand of the Chaldeans, and I will cast thee out, and thy mother that bare thee, unto another country where ye were not born, and there shall ye die. But to the land whereunto they desire to return, hither they shall not return. Is this man Conan a despised, broken idol? Is he a vessel wherein is no pleasure? Wherefore are they cast out? He and his seed are cast into a land which they know not. Now here's the key verse, verse 29. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless. This is the last heir of David to sit upon the throne. And here God severs the divinic lineage. The last son of David. The last future of the one to sit on the throne. Right here God says, write ye this man childless. A man shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper sitting upon the throne of David and ruling anymore in Judea. Right there, the lineage is cut off. It's broke. A lot of preachers say right there says that God didn't keep His promise to David. Right there is where that's why they don't believe in that millennial reign. Right there they say the millennial reign stopped. Well, look in Acts chapter number 2. Peter here is speaking. He's bringing a revelation here. Verse 29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and David was a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He saying this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. Now David's speaking prophetically, this is mentioned in the book of Psalms, and he's mentioning here that God won't leave Jesus. He won't leave him in hell. And his flesh won't see no corruption. And God keeping his promise to David, that's mentioned in Psalms 110. He says, this Jesus have God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, He has shed forth which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into heaven, but he hath himself, but he saith himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thy foes thy footstool. Wherefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. God's promise in Psalms 89. Again, you got to go all through this Bible, dig this out. But in Psalms 89, verse 34, God says this, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that's gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as a sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, as a faithful witness in heaven, so I. Then you can turn, last of all, Revelations chapter number 20. God here again, fulfilling His promise. He says, I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, which worshipped not the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years, but the rest of the dead lived not until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. O such a second death have no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. I want you to know that Jesus sat upon the throne of his father David, and God kept his promise to David, even though the failure of man wouldn't let him fulfill it like he wanted. He had another way of fulfilling it, and he fulfilled that promise through Jesus Christ to rule and reign upon the throne of his father David. There was another scripture there in Acts I should have read. I think it's Acts 13, where it said that Jesus was set upon the throne of his father David. But even the angel that announced the birth of Jesus said that he'll sit upon the throne of his father David. I think it's in Luke. I want you to know God kept His promise. Amen. That's what I'm trying to preach about tonight, the promise of God. Then the angel here, it says in Luke chapter 1, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Well, I'll tell you one thing, when God makes a promise, you don't have to question, you don't have to worry. All the promises of God, especially the ones that He made in Jesus, are yea and amen. Amen. Down here, men make handshakes, they write all kind of contracts and covenants and all kinds of contention, like, if you don't do this, then this, that, whatever. But God just says, hey, I'll give you my word. That's good enough. Amen. I thank God for the promises of God. I'm glad, praise God, He promised me a home in heaven. And I'll tell you right now, ain't going to be no living on the streets in heaven. Everybody's going to have a mansion. Everybody's going to be happy. Everything's going to be provided for. Everything's going to be precious there. Not just the gold, not just the walls of jasper, not just the pearls of one gate. But I want you to know there'll be family up there that have been missed, that have been loved, that have been longed, and they'll be precious when we see them again. There'll be songs up there. Brother Melvin here never heard. They'll be precious. There'll be sights up there that eyes never seen. They'll be precious. I'd like for us to be able to take a tour of heaven tonight. Man, oh man, I hear people write songs about heaven. I've heard people preach messages about heaven. I've heard Jesus talk about heaven. But one day, Molly, I'm going to take a trip.
Amen.
I'm going to look at it myself. I'm going to walk up on the streets of heaven myself. I'm going to go to heaven myself because of God's promise to Eddie Wade. That if I would admit I was a sinner, that if I would ask to be forgiven, that He, by the promise that He made through Jesus, receive me, forgive me, and keep me. I'll tell you right now, I'd rather have God keep me than have Fort Knox. With all their military might and all their means, I'd rather have God keep me. Because I'll tell you right now, them men up there at Fort Knox, they might turn, what do you call them, Benedict Arnolds or turncoats or whatever. But I'll tell you one thing. When God couldn't swear by no greater, Carolyn, he swore by his own name. He said, I want you to know, Abraham, it's going to be just like I told you. I was telling Donnie, we left this morning. We pulled down the parkway. I said, Donnie, look down at that view. And you could look, and as far as you could see, there was land and trees and grass. You know what I told him, Keith? I said, that view reminds me of what God told Abraham. He said, Abraham, look north, look south, look east, look west. He said, I'm going to give it to you. Abraham said, thank you, Lord. He didn't say how. He didn't say when. He said, thank you. And I tell you right now, it's God's to give. The Bible said the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. All the silver is His. All the gold's His. Cattle on a thousand hills is His. He gives to whoever He wants. Man, I remember one time I was down and out and I said, Lord, He said in the book of Malachi to call upon You and see if You wouldn't open up the windows of heaven, pour out a blessing room, couldn't contain. I said, Lord, would You just crack that window just a little bit? Man, before that day's over with, I got a phone call and I shouted all over the place. Hallelujah. I called King of Kings Radio about 2 weeks ago. I had a prayer request and I told them, I said, y'all remember this prayer request? And I said, y'all remember me? I said, I don't know how. Somebody said, I got to come up with like $2,000 or something like that. I said, y'all just pray with me about that. And I said, I appreciate y'all. I like to hear them pray on that radio. I like to hear Carolyn pray. Man, I tell you what, she pray. Humble prayer, Lord. She just goes right in there. Man, I pray with her. I just want to have a wreck praying with her. But I said, y'all pray for me. It wasn't about 2 hours, my phone rung and some guy in Georgia called me up and he said, I'm interested in buying all that flint you got. We're talking $3,000. And I was sitting there thinking, man, this can't be right. I said, yes, sir. He said, I'm interested. He said, take me 7 hours to drive up there. He said, will you sell me everything you got for that? I said, absolutely. I'll gather more between now and then. He was going to come Thursday morning, which would have been wonderful, but he's an electrician. And he got a job, a commercial job, do 480 wiring. He couldn't come that Thursday morning, but he's going to come next Saturday. But I want you to know, when I called up there and said, y'all pray for me, my phone rung. If that wasn't enough, another guy called me up, Keith. He said, I heard you had a fishing bait for sale. I said, yes, sir. I was asking $100,000 for it, Brother Bobby. He said, would you take a serious offer? I said, well, how serious are you? He said, $25,000. I said, you talking cash? He said, yes, sir. I said, I'm definitely interested in that. I'll tell you right now, when you tell God to crack the window of heaven, I'll tell you right now, buddy, He'll pour out a blessing. And I'll tell you what, praise God, it all belongs to Him. If you need something, just go to Him and say, Lord, I need this. I need that. I need some help. My back's hurting. My eyes are hurting, my ears are hurting, my legs are hurting. Bible said He ain't very far from any one of us. And all the promises of God in Him are yea and amen. There ain't no question in it at all. That just means all the promises of God in Him are yes. He won't withhold any good thing from you. Matter of fact, it's His good will to give us all things that we have need of. Jesus said, it's my Father's good will to give you all the things you need. He don't want to hold anything back. Man, He wants to give you what you need more. Man, I wish we had more like Him down here. I tell you what, boy, praise God for a God like that. I wasn't expecting to get done this early, but I was going to share something with you tonight that ain't really preaching. But I don't want to mess up the invitation to do it, but I had a thing that I had printed out. Printed out off the internet about the difference between Jesus and Muhammad. And I know the whole world's gone after Muhammad. You just list this, tell me which one you'd rather have. Jesus' name means God is my Savior. Emmanuel, God with us as our Savior. Muhammad's name means praised one. Jesus was born about 4 B.C. in Bethlehem, born of the Virgin Mary. Had no earthly father, conceived of the Holy Ghost. Muhammad was born in Armenia in 1570 A.D. in Mecca. Jesus was raised by Mary, his mother, and Joseph, his adopted father, his stepfather. Muhammad was raised by his mother, Halmanai, the nurse, and then his uncle and grandfather. Jesus was prophesied by more than 300 scriptures of his first coming. He fulfilled every single one of them, including Deuteronomy 18, verse 15, where Moses said, a prophet shall the Lord raise up like unto me. The Muslims believe that Muhammad is prophesied as the comforter and the prophet of Deuteronomy 18, 15. Jesus labored as a carpenter like his stepfather in Nazareth. Muhammad was, his father was named Abdi Allah after Allah. started as a shepherd and then became a camel caravan leader. Jesus spoke in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. Muhammad spoke only in Arabic, and the Muslims say he was illiterate. Jesus was literate, but wrote no books. He directly commissioned his dedicated followers to write, preach his message. The Holy Spirit inspired them. Muhammad was literate. An angel called Gabriel delivered the message, wrote the Quran, or some say others heard his sayings and wrote down as well. Jesus attracted multitudes by his teaching to God, affirming the Old Testament, taught openly to the multitudes as one having authority. Muhammad attracted multitudes by his teaching by the sword, forcefully overthrowing the worship of other gods. Jesus done miracles, healings were freely given. He healed all kinds of diseases. Muhammad, the Quran, was his miracle. He did no miracles or healing nor delivering people from demons. Jesus moved to Capernaum because of being rejected by his own people and his brothers and sisters. Muhammad had to move to Medina because of rejection by his town people. Jesus never married nor lusted after women. Muhammad was married to at least 15 wives, one of which was only 9 years old. Jesus lived a sinless life. Never once prayed for forgiveness, but forgave others. Muhammad prayed often for forgiveness of his sins and did all the prophets in Old Testament and New Testament. Jesus raged no war, said his kingdom was not of this world, so his followers should not fight. Jesus said those who live by the sword will die by the sword. Muhammad was a warrior who waged war, numerous wars, jihad against infidels and pagans, fighting and leading in 66 battles to spread his message of Muslim. Jesus ordered the death of no one, but instead died in place of sinners and all who have sinned. Muhammad ordered the death of many men and women. The first of all was a poetess to promote the message of Muslims among the pagans. Jesus established truth, mercy, and love for his enemies and even invited all to come to him. Muhammad established a Muslim belief system, an earthly empire, teaching all must obey the teaching of the Quran. Jesus established a relationship with God and a spiritual kingdom, not of this world, that would last forever. And Muhammad established a religion of God, or Allah, being compassionate and merciful to the obedient, but there were no guarantees to anyone. Jesus died by crucifixion in the place of others at the age of 33 and a half years, being totally innocent of any crime. Muhammad died in Medina due to effects of pneumonia at the age 62. Jesus arose from the dead the third day, just as it was predicted, leaving an empty tomb and promises to raise everyone else that believed and lived in him. Muhammad still lingers in the grave, awaiting the day of judgment to be judged by Jesus. The Bible inspires people to seek peace, and the gospel is called the gospel of peace. The God of the Bible offers his love, a choice that we can choose. He does not want anyone to perish in their sins in the devil's hell. The Quran condones fighting for God and the cause of Islam when necessary. It promotes genocide to infidels and pagans and those who do not accept Islam when it's offered. Jesus is mentioned in the Quran 97 times. I didn't know that. Muhammad is mentioned in the Quran 25 times. Jesus is mentioned hundreds of times in the Bible. Muhammad's not mentioned one single time in the Bible. Jesus was called a prophet, priest, king, and king of kings. Muhammad's called an apostle in the Quran and a prophet in Islam. The Old Testament predicts the Lord's second coming in more scriptures than his first coming, of which 600 give detailed accounts. Muhammad only had one self-fulfilling prophecy, nothing in the Old Testament predicting his return. Over 1,500,000,000 claim to be followers of Christ and are dedicated by their love and living for Him by caring for others, building hospitals, feeding poor, helping educate people all over the world, showing the compassion of Him to all. Muhammad has 1 billion who are followers, who are dedicated, zealous, and still use force if necessary against any non-Muslim in their land where Islam is the country's religion. Christ prophesied the end of all age that it would be like when He comes again. He'll save Israel from her enemies. Old and New Testament prophecies will be fulfilled by His second coming. There's no teaching at all that Muhammad will come back again, nor rule, nor reign. Islam actually teaches that Christ is coming back. No matter how great a teacher is different, if one looks, they can find no fault in Jesus, but plenty of fault to be found in Muhammad. And I'll tell you right now, I thank God that He gave us promises in Jesus. And in Jesus, praise God, we can receive those promises. In the world, they'll chase after Muhammad and they'll forsake Jesus. But I'll tell you this, just give me Jesus. Amen. Father, we thank You, Lord, for the message tonight. I do pray, dear Heavenly Father, for Lord, not knowing what all, Lord, You've done here tonight, that Lord, if there be something needs to be done, I pray it be by the hand of God, and we'll thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Marilyn, get us an invitation on him. It don't take me long to decide which one I'm going with. It ain't Muhammad. And all that do follow him to hell.
That's right.
I know they don't like it. They like to come cut my head off. That won't be much of a trophy. But I'll tell you right now, that's all they can do. After that, they can do no more. They take my head off, won't be no great loss to me, won't be no great gain to them. Matter of fact, it won't be of any advantage at all to them. Because God just raised up 100 to take my place. But that's the way they think. If they can dominate, they come kill me, they think they dominate. They'll have to kill God.
Have you been Jesus for the cleansing?
You're here tonight.
You
don't have the promise that God bestowed upon you. Why not get it tonight? Oh, the promise of God in Him. Oh, yea and amen. Why not get it tonight? Get those promises of the peace of God, of the joy unspeakable, of eternal life, of His blessing, His protecting power, His provision. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Are you washed in
the Yes, I am. Yes, I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Have you risen from beneath the crucifix? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed?
Yes. If you're not, do it. Do it now. He's coming. He promised He'd come, and by His promise He's coming. On a day just like today, an average, ordinary day. God, twinkle of an eye, caught up. Gone. I can't twinkle my eye. I can blink. That bites. Gone. Cleansing blood of the Lamb. Yes, I am. Yes, that's white as snow. Thank you, Brother Melvin. Like I said, I don't know what God done here tonight, but I know one thing. I thank God for those promises. I'm glad that Peter said, are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. You ought to read your Bible, find out what those promises are. I don't know how y'all pray, but I'll tell you how I pray. I pray claiming the promises. I pray because I say, God, Your Word says this. I do. I claim those promises. If you want to pray in a way that God will hear you, those promises given in that Bible to you, promises to us were exceeding great, precious promises to us were. When you pray, just say, Lord, You promised. You blessed me. You promised you'd help me. You promised you'd supply my need out of your riches and glory. I never will forget the time I was down there in the basement. Family's gone. I was down there alone praying. And I remember I went in there, Margaret, and I said, Lord, you said if I ever had a need to come to you. And I said, Lord, I need $300. I need it today. Just as soon as I got that out, the phone rung. And I was determined I wasn't going to answer that phone. I just started praying. And I was just so determined I wasn't going to answer that phone. It kept a ring and a ring and a ring. Finally, my old flesh got up, got in the flesh, got mad, went in there and jerked that phone up. Not very politely, I said, hello! The guy on the other end of the phone said, hey, this is Dale. He said, I got $300. He said, can you get me some plant today? And I went from this hall to about like it. And I said, okay. I mean, I was speechless. I don't know what to say. It's pretty bad. I hung that phone up and I went there in my tail, tucked between my legs, and I said, Lord, I wouldn't expect you to answer that quick. I said, Lord, could you help me find $300 worth of flint today? And his promise. Man, I didn't find $300 worth, I found $500 worth. But I'll tell you what, that's how simple God is.
Jeez.
Claim your promises. He wants you to come to Him. I think lots of times our troubles are there just to draw us to Him. When Nita told me about Nathaniel, I thought, that's the best thing happening, boy. Mm-hmm. I mean, here he is going down that road. The Bible says the way of transgressors.
Mm-hmm.
He's going down that hard road.
Mm-hmm.
God got him in jail right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best thing. Got him away from all this temptation, all this bad company.
Mm-hmm.
Corrupt communication, the Bible says, corrupts good manners. Got him away from all that. Now it's just him and God in that cell, Brother Melvin.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have to do business with God.
Amen.
I'm going to try to go by there and see him. But I believe sometimes trouble is necessary.
That's right.
For us to realize how much we need the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't for troubles, I'd try to go through this world without ever talking to God or ever praying to God. I just think, who needs God? And I think sometimes he reminds me, Eddie, I'm here for you, boy. I praise God for that. Maybe somebody's got a testimony tonight, word and heart, not will be dismissed. And I thank God for the promises of God. I don't know what you think about God, but I'll tell you what I think about Him. I think He's the greatest thing that ever happened to Eddie Wade. And I'll tell you what, I come to Him with nothing, left with everything. Glory, I'm still just blessed. Just can't, I never will ever get over it, I guess. That someone as great as Him would be my friend. Someone as great as Him would take time for me. And He promised that if I'd come to Him, that He'd do that.
I love Him and I praise His holy name tonight.
Amen.
Without Him, I'm nothing.
Bless you, Molly.
I love Him tonight. I thank Him for dying for me.
Amen.
Where would I have been if He hadn't?
God bless you.
I love Him tonight.
Psalms 46 verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes I wake up about 2:00 in the morning, I'm laying there in bed. It's real quiet, and I just lay there in that bed. I say, hello, Lord, it's me. Man, them still moments like that right there, early, wife's asleep, everybody's asleep, just sitting there, knowing He's God. Knowing I ain't got nothing to worry about last night, is a thundering. Everybody's worried. I went to bed, Carolyn, slept like a baby. Clouds all black outside. Hey. Gone to heaven. Anybody else got a word in your heart tonight?
He's a reasonable God. He said all He asks is a reasonable service.
That's right.
And He's it's a pleasure to serve Him. He don't ask nothing hard, I promise. You know, He's understanding, and we all want to give Him our best. You know,
He is gracious.
He deserves our best.
Yeah.
He sent His Son to die for sins. He didn't want us to go to hell. He made a way for escape, you know.
Yeah.
We've got to accept that, though, you know. And ought to be willing and glad to, you know. I did, you know.
Amen.
And where He paid an awful price for us, you know.
Yeah. He don't make no demand, but He's so deserving.
We got a choice where to serve the devil or serve the Lord, you know.
Amen.
And the consequences is bad if we don't serve Him, you know. But, you know, we got a choice there.
Yeah.
I wish everybody would make the right choice, you know.
That's right.
He said you wasn't willing to perish, so I'll come repentance. And
He gives the Bible to go by, you know, and so like you said, you know how to live, please him, you know.
Amen.
He tells us in there how to live, you know.
Yeah.
We need to be familiar with the Bible.
Read. That's right. Yeah. I have to admit, somebody wrote a song, I'm using my Bible for a roadmap.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing. You get that Bible out and get to reading it, you'll find out how much He loves you. You'll find out how much He's done for you. You'll start appreciating the grace Brother Matt mentioned. Boy, He's reasonable. He's gracious, kind, patient, compassionate. Just really, good God.
Yeah, He's better than words can explain.
That's true.
Good God, sir.
Amen. If we're done tonight, thank you for coming. And Brother Bobby, you dismiss us. Word of prayer there, brother.
Thank you for a living Savior.
Amen.
One has no fault.
Amen.